émoussez-moi, Dieu, prenez le monde, vous ayez un oh, I see the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe deep. Then sings my soul, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. Oh, how great thou art, oh. Then sings my soul, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Went through the woods and forest glades I wandered. Oh, how great thou art,
let's sing one more song. Let's sing that song. I don't know why Christ died. What's that song? I don't know why he loved me, but I'm so glad that he did. Amen.
Jesus loved me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. He left his mighty throne in glory.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
To bring to us redemption story.
Then he died, but he rose again.
Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. I don't know why Jesus loved me.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know why he came. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me?
Oh.
Where would I be if Jesus didn't care? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life? Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. I don't know why Jesus loved me.
Oh,
I don't know why he cared. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did.
I don't know why.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.
Oh,
I don't know why he came. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did.
Amen, amen. Saints, we're glad that he did. Let's open our Bibles first, Corinthians chapter 15. We just continue with that scripture. We do greet you, saints, this evening in Jesus' name. It's good to be in his house this evening. We really do appreciate your prayers for last weekend. Many greetings from Brother George Quinn and the saints in Donegal. The saints are doing fine. We had a good time. And we really did appreciate it. And really glad that you had a good time too. It's wonderful. Amen. Let's open 1 Corinthians 15 just to continue on a scripture. I think Brother Francis was using it at Sunday school as well. We take it from 49. We know 1 Corinthians 15 is the chapter of the resurrection. Verse 49. Paul spoken of many different things. And he summarizes that section in verse 49. He says, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So this is an inheritance that we're speaking about. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. So long as it's a mystery, it's for our day. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. So Paul knew exactly when it was going to be. People were trying to say in his day the resurrection was past and the coming of the Lord was near. He says, it can't be. He says, it's at the seventh trump. He says, the trumpets have to sound. Israel must be gathered again. The Gentile ages must be at an end. And then they can come the resurrection. So he knew then. It wasn't yet the Feast of Trumpets. It wasn't that time. So he knew that it was coming. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he summarizes the whole revelation of the resurrection in the last verse. Because every revelation must come for a purpose. It must be a personal reason why these things are revealed. Verse 58. Therefore, my brethren, he's summarizing. My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, because of the resurrection. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you can gather once again upon this evening to labor, Father, in your precious work, to labor in your name. Father, because we know, Lord, that there's a heavenly reward. Father, there's an inheritance which is incorruptible. Father, there's just beyond this final breath, there's the great reward. So, Father, while yet we dwell in this dimension, we dwell in this mortality, while yet, Lord, we're surrounded by corruption, Father, we just want to be steadfast. We want to be unmovable, Lord. And, Father, to help us, Lord, we desire to look beyond the curtain of time. Father, that helped Paul in his day, that helped the prophet in our day, and surely it would help us as well. So, Father, may you bless our meditation upon this night. May it be acceptable to thee. We've come to this place, Lord, for one purpose, and that's to have communion with you. Father, we desire Melchizedek to come once again with the bread and the wine. Father, to break unto us this bread of life in the evening time, Lord, and to reveal unto us, Lord, Father, that which is upon thine heart, Lord, that which, Father, is your very purpose in this day. So may you bless your people upon this night. As we gather in your precious name, take this word, bless it to us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Saints, you may be seated. Paul speaking of the resurrection. I'd sent around just asking some brothers yesterday, because it was quite a weighty topic we were trying to get into. I had just this thought, maybe to start it tonight, but knowing it's a Friday evening, knowing there's a lot of saints aren't able to come, and different people are in different places. People come from work, come from college. People are tired of because of this and that. I thought maybe tonight we'll just take maybe a Bible study to give us a good background. But I thought we wanted to take just in the next services by the grace of God is Melchizedek, his city and his people. You know, there was something when we were away that really, really so inspired me. When we went to Donegal and we went out and we did different things. And there was just something which became so real to me. You know, there's certain seasons when the Lord makes certain things real. We're reading of it last week when Paul said there's a time when you have a partial realization. He says there's a time when we see things as children, when we see in part. He says, but then there's a time when we see things the way that they are. We see face to face. And I really do believe this is the age of seeing face to face. But the Lord brings us to different things his way, you know. And it's the same like you in your life, me in my life. The Lord reveals things in this season. And certain things, you see the prophet, if you go and read the Hebrews messages 1957, you'll find the prophet speaking about theophanies, but there's certain things he corrects down the way. Like in 1957 in Hebrews, he says, your theophany is your soul. But then he comes down when he preaches, who is this Melchizedek? And he preaches things that ought to be. He says, it's not your soul. Your soul is the attribute. Your theophany is the body that's waiting for you. So you'll see the prophet in many things he understood in part until the opening of the seals, he says. And then who is this Melchizedek? He says, we should thank God for the opening of those seals that has made these things so plain to us. And there's a certain season that God has for an unveiling. And it's a wonderful thing to just stay in that kind of a line in those kind of seasons. Now, when you find something starts to minister to you, one thing that you'll know for sure is the devil doesn't like revelation. Amen. The prophet says Satan hates revelation. He hates the book of Genesis. He hates the book of Revelation because he knows that revelation gives you authority. Revelation gives you victory over the devil because revelation unveils who he is, unveils his thoughts, unveils his purposes. And even greater than that, revelation unveils who you are and what God's thoughts are towards you and what God's purposes and plans are towards you. So that's why Satan, I think that's the greatest thing that he fears is when he sees you starting to get into that realm of revelation. Because the moment you start getting into that place, he's going to do everything he possibly can to move you from that place. And I think at those times, like Paul said, be steadfast and unmovable. You know, don't move away. Stay there until you get the full virtue from what the Lord is trying to say to you. And I was just having a look at this chapter of the resurrection. The whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is speaking of different reasons to confirm the resurrection. Because there were people like in this day that were trying to criticize his message. People who were trying to say, how can people be resurrected? What body will they be in? And all of that. And Paul comes and he starts to unveil this mystery of the resurrection. And the very reason that Paul could speak with the authority that he did is that Paul wasn't just speaking by revelation. He wasn't just speaking because of something which he had been taught or something that he had heard. Paul was speaking of things that he knew. Because Paul had been beyond the curtain of time. And that's why 1 Corinthians 15 is Paul speaking from his experience. He couldn't speak of those things for 14 years, he said. Because there were certain things that he saw when he went beyond the curtain of time into the third heaven, like Brother Francis was saying that day, the third heaven, that when he came back, it was just things that he couldn't explain to the people. When he went to Arabia and he started to and the things started to unfold to him and he started to understand the mystery behind the experiences that he had had, that really equipped him to come now to minister those things. And I really do believe that as well, is that the most effective thing you're ever going to minister is you're going to minister from your experience. Now, if you're just ministering from somebody else's experience or what you've heard from somebody else, well, that's okay. But when you're ministering from your personal experience, there's something there. And Paul, when he came to speak about the different bodies and corruption and incorruption, and he started to speak about that we first bear the image of the earthly and then we bear the image of the heavenly. All of these things he was speaking of because he knew what it was like. He had stepped into the heavenly while he was yet on earth. Just like the prophet in our age had stepped into the heavenly and he looked back to the earthly. And that's why Paul could speak of the difference between, you know, corruption and incorruption, and that this corruption will put on incorruption and this mortal will put on immortality, because this man tasted of those things. This man was there. And I think that's the most powerful witness that you can have of anything, is to bear record of things which you've seen and experienced for yourself. And that is why you should never ever seek for experiences. Because God predestinates experiences to you. As we've said before, the prophet never was seeking for an experience when the Lord came to him as a young boy and spoke to him and said, you'll live near a place called you'll live in a place called Jeffersonville. Live near a place called New Albany. He wasn't seeking for that, but that was predestinated to him because it was important for him to fulfill the purpose and the calling that God had called him to. And when the prophet was a young boy and his father said, go down to the well there and go and get me some water in the bucket to come to my whiskey. No, still there, he's making his moonshine in that day. And then there was the whirlwind in the poplar tree. And the voice came and says, don't smoke or drink or defile your body. I've got a work for you to do later. The prophet wasn't looking for that. But that was predestinated to him. It was God's ordained experience for him at that time. Because your calling, your purpose, whatever God has predestinated you to, it's God's responsibility to get you there. So God, at certain times when he sees there's a danger, like he saw the prophet, there was a danger that he was going to go and drink and smoke and defile his body. Because his father was a drunkard. His father's friends were all drunkards. At his house, many times the prophet says the women would come when their husbands were at work. The married woman, and would come and do things wrong with married men. And would drink, and then they'd have to try to give them hot coffee and that to sober them up and send them back in time for their husbands to come home. So the Lord, knowing the prophet was going to grow up in that kind of an environment, it was going to be very easy for him to defile himself. So God brought that experience to him. Something that would really minister to him at that time, that would leave an imprint in his experience. And that was now something that was a safeguard. That was something which the Lord really ordained for him to keep him to the next stage of his experience. And then the next stage of the experience came when he was shot through the legs. And then he was taken to hospital, and then he went down into the regions of the lost. And then he saw now the people down there, and he saw, you know, the souls that are in prison now. That was a real experience to him. The prophet wasn't looking for that experience, but that was going to greatly equip him for his ministry, because what greater experience could an evangelist have than to go down and see the regions of the lost? And that's when the prophet got that day to Mishawaka, and he didn't know what to preach. What was his text? The young man lifted up his eyes in hell. The prophet had been there. He says, and he cried, and the prophet says in souls in prison, he says, when I went down there to the regions of the lost, I cried out for my daddy, but my daddy wasn't there. I cried out for God, but God wasn't there. And Brother Bram, he starts preaching now from that experience. And he says, that young man cried out to God, but there was no God there. You see, it was from an experience that God had given him. Though it was a real negative experience. It was something that happened to him before his conversion. But friends, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And the predestinated or predestinated, even before you know him, God was taking you through things so they could use those things for his glory. So that you could fulfill your purpose. And then he gets to 1933 and he's baptizing in the Ohio River. He's not seeking for anything that day. And then there comes the great pillar of fire comes down and a voice speaks and says, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, you are sent to forerun his second coming. That was an experience God had predestinated for him to take him from where he was to move him to the next cycle of his life. Then in 1946, he's in a cave. He doesn't understand his ministry. And then the pillar of fire comes down and the angel steps out of the pillar of fire and tells him your strange birth and your calling that you've got in your life, the strange things you've been through. God put them in you to take a ministry of healing to the nations of the earth. And then that ministered him from there. And then he had different experiences. Then he comes to 1963. The prophet wasn't looking for anything at that time. There was just a deep inside of him. He knew the next stage in the unfolding of his ministry, because the prophet's ministry was to the revelation of Jesus Christ, was to unveil that book of Revelation. So he had already done Revelations 1, he had already done the church ages, he had already done Kinsman Redeemer, you know, Revelations 4, Revelations 5, he had done the throne of mercy and so forth. He knew the next thing was the seals. And God knew this is going to be different than all the things before. Then he has the vision of the seven angels. And then the voice tells him that when you see these things come to pass, go west. And then the prophet, not even knowing what he's doing, where he's going, he goes to Tucson. And then he meets the angels. And then he's given the next stage of the commission, return back to the east. Because it's now time for you to fulfill your commission as Malachi 4, as Revelations 10:7. For the mysteries to be finished. Now, all of those experiences, they were all predestinated to the prophet. And if you look inside of your life, God has dealt with you at certain times and in certain ways, in a particular way for the way that he's made you. And that's why the prophet had such an issue with the Pentecostals, trying to get them all to have the same experience. God doesn't make a person like that. How many other people in the Bible met the burning bush? Moses was the only one who met him in a burning bush. Jacob wrestled with God in his theophany. That was a serious experience. He wrestled with God. He says, I've seen God face to face. That was a different kind of an experience. Paul met him in a pillar of fire, hanging in the air, saying, why are you persecuting me? Everybody had their own experience, and that's the important thing. God has made you a certain way for a certain purpose, to fulfill a certain predestinated calling. And God is going to work with the man according to the way that he made him. But when we are in Pentecost, we are told we must all speak in tongues. Paul says, not all speak in tongues. The prophet says, when somebody would come to me, I would look at their nature. I would look at where the stars were, their birth sign, when they were born, because God will work with somebody the way that he's made him. And then the prophet would see that a certain gift would go with a certain temperament. If somebody ever said to me, you were made to be an evangelist, that's a great mistake. I don't have that kind of a nature at all. God makes a person to fulfill his calling. And it's the same as you. And that's why if you're trying to impersonate somebody else, you're never fully going to be a blessing, because you can't be yourself. and the experiences that you've had don't match with what you're trying to do. All the leading up to it, like in the prophet's ministry, was for a purpose. And God was dealing with him in certain ways to bring him to a certain climax in his ministry. And it's exactly the same as you and I. And that's why you've got to be able to trace back in your life as a believer and see a continuity in your experience. You've got to see a progression, things moving you from one place to the next. And although you may, like we said last week, not yet be in that place that you can say, I've already attained, I've already apprehended that for which Christ apprehended me. But you should be able to see the continuity of the working of the hand of God inside of your life. How he dealt with you before you were converted. How he brought you to salvation, to forgiveness of sin. How he's dealt with you since then. How he's moved you and given you certain experiences and certain revelations and certain things that you've been through, including the trials that you go through. It was all for a purpose. When Sister Hope died and Sharon Rose, it was for a purpose. The prophet wasn't looking for that. The prophet never wanted to step out of the will of God. It was God allowed him to go through that. Allowed him to get himself caught in a situation in South Africa where the ministers are saying this, that, and the other. And the prophet finds that he can't do very much about it. And God's going to teach him lessons by those things that he's going through. And that is why, friends, the hand of God is in the life of the predestinated. In the positive experiences, in the revelations, and in the negative things, the trials and the tribulations that you go through. It was ordained for Paul to have a messenger of the devil to buffet him in the flesh. God ordained it. It was permitted, the Bible says, to keep him from exalting himself because of the abundance of the revelations that he had had. God allowed this messenger to buffet him. And the prophet said, just when he'd think he'd recovered, that would come back. His eyes would give him problems and the things that he would go through. Friends, everything is predestinated by God. Now, sometimes the devil will try to sneak in and you know that it's the devil. You can tell when it's the devil. You know when the Lord's trying to teach you something. And you know when it's the devil challenging you. And as a believer, you never give in to the challenge of the devil. You never submit yourself to the devil. And that's why Paul went and he besought the Lord three times. Because he didn't know, what does this mean? And he went and he prayed three times. And the prophet says, I've never yet asked the Lord for anything. Unless either he gave it to me or he showed me why he couldn't give it to me. And the Lord came and showed Paul, I can't answer this prayer, Paul. Because it's for your good. Because when you are weak, then you are strong. Because my grace is sufficient for you. And then Paul says, now I'll glory in my infirmities. Now I'll glory so that his glory, his hand may rest upon me. That was a serious, serious life this man was living. Because in everything he was going through, he saw the will of God. He saw the hand of God. He saw the purpose of God. Now, that wilderness experience, friends, when you go round and round and round, and you don't see the hand of God and you don't see the purpose of God, that's a dangerous place to be. You don't need to stay too long in that kind of a condition. You don't want to keep going round and around aimlessly like Israel in the wilderness. You want to get to the stage like with Israel. We've been too long at this mountain. Let's turn northwards now. And the prophet came to that experience as well. And then he was two-thirds of the way to Jordan. And then he says the inheritance is the other side. And that's what happened to him when that experience of going beyond the curtain of time. The prophet wasn't seeking for an experience that day. There was just a deep inside of him. He said, I woke up that morning, and what was he thinking? He says, I was thinking that my years are getting on. He says, I'm past 50 now. He says, I think he was 54, 50, somewhere around there, I think it was at that time. But he says, I've lived longer than my father. And he looked at that and says, if I'm going to do something for the Lord, I better get to doing it quickly because I've always wanted to do something for him. And then the prophet says, and I'll tell you a secret. He says, I had a fear. He says, I didn't want to die because I didn't want to be a spook. I didn't want to be a spirit. He says, I wanted to stay as a man. I like being a man. I liked it that I could see Brother Neville and shake his hand and say, God bless you, Brother Neville. And he says, but I thought because of the experiences he'd had with the spiritual dimension, in the years gone by in his ministry, when he'd meet those demonic forces, he would see them as spirits. He would see them in that realm, in that form, not as bodies, not as flesh and blood in that sense. He didn't see them in that form. So the prophet thought, when I die and this life goes from the body, I'm going to have to be like that until Jesus comes. Because when I die, my body is going in the grave. My hands are going to be in the grave. My tongue's going to be in the grave. So when I meet Brother Neville over there, how am I going to shake his hand when his hand is in the grave? How am I going to speak to him in that kind of way when my tongue is in the grave? And the prophet says, I didn't want to die. Not that I was afraid of being lost. He said, but I didn't want to be a spirit. And he says, and I was thinking of that. He says, I woke up 7 o'clock in the morning. He says, church started at 9:30. And I thought, if I'm hoarse today, I'll go down and listen to Brother Neville. He says, but I put my head against the headboard and I said, let me just meditate on that thought. And I really love it the way that it goes. I'll just read it to you from how he explains it in Rejected King. He says, and I don't want you to miss this. It has changed me. I can't be the same Brother Branham that I was. Friends, you can't experience that dimension and be the same. If you can still go back to your old entertainment, go back to your old friends, go back to your old fashions, you've never experienced that dimension. You've never yet broken into that realm. Because once you go in that realm, you may not be ordained like Paul or like Brother Branham to go into that realm the way that they did. But we still are ordained to fellowship with that realm. That's heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where all the spiritual blessings are. And the prophet broke into a certain realm, and Paul broke into a certain realm. And when they came back, he says, I can never be the same Brother Branham that I was. I can never be the same. He says, it's changed me. He says, and I looked, and I heard something kept saying, you're just starting. Press the battle. Just keep pressing. And I shook my head a minute, and I thought, well, I was probably just thinking like this, you know. I probably just imagined that. It said, press the battle. Keep going. Keep going. And I put my lips within my teeth and my hand over my mouth. And there it came again. It said, just keep pressing. If you only knew what was at the end of the road. Now see how he's going to break into this dimension. It's very interesting. The first thing, he's meditating upon the word. And when he starts meditating on the word, there comes a voice from beyond the veil and is speaking to him now. Just press the battle. If you only knew what was just beyond the veil. So the Lord is speaking to him from that realm. And now what's the next piece that picks him up into that dimension? He says, and it seemed like I could hear Grim Snelling. Or somebody singing that song like they sing it here. I'm homesick and blue. And I want to see Jesus. Friends, the music was important. There was a certain song, a certain anointing in music at that time that came to the prophet just as he was about to pass into that spiritual realm. So there was the word and there was this music that he heard coming from that realm or coming from somewhere. And it was a special item that Brother Grim Snelling used to come and sing with his wife and some sisters in the tabernacle called Let Me Look Past the Curtain of Time. So friends, there's certain music that ministers to what God is trying to deal with you at that time. That's why you listen to certain music at certain times and it doesn't have a quickening in it. You say, but this music used to be good, but you listen now, it doesn't have what it used to have. But there's other songs that you listen to in a certain season and it does something to you. There's the deep in the song that ministers to the deep inside of you. And you don't want to get away from that music. Because there's something special about that music at that time. It's a deep ministering to the deep. And there was this music that came at that time. And the prophets, I could hear Brother Grim Snelling singing. It says, I'm homesick and blue. And I want to see Jesus. I would like to hear those sweet harbor bells chime. He wanted his ship to come into the harbor. To hear the chiming of the bells. And the ship's coming in through the fog or through the mist. And it's not too sure of exactly how to find the harbor. But it hears the harbor bells chiming. And that allows them to direct the ship to bring it safely into the harbor. And friends, there's a certain harbor of the soul. There's a certain haven of rest that we sing about. There's a certain place that he's guiding your soul day by day. He wants to bring it safely into that haven of rest. And the prophet was going to see this inheritance, and this music comes and starts to minister him into that inheritance, into a deeper experience of what God is trying to reveal to him at that time. That's why music is so important, friends. Don't ever underestimate when somebody comes and sings a special that has a real anointing upon it, and it ministers to people at that time. God is trying to say something. God is trying to create a certain atmosphere in your soul, a certain condition, a certain line of thought, a certain yieldedness. And maybe you're just on the brink of breaking beyond the veil in a certain experience. And God comes and brings a certain anointing and a certain type of music at that time. And that's the thing that just opens that final way for you to go. And that's what happened to the prophet. He was thinking on the scriptures. And he wasn't only just thinking of scriptures, but God was speaking to him about those scriptures. There was a voice that was speaking to him while he meditated on the word. Now friends, you and I might not hear the audible voice, but there's the still small voice. And that's what gives you the power to overcome. That's what shines light upon your path, is when you get into that realm and you're meditating on what God wants you to meditate upon. There's going to come a voice that starts to minister to you in that place. Something's going to speak to you. And you just feed that experience and feed that atmosphere. Listen to the right music at that kind of a place. And God's going to do something for you. Because there's a deep that's trying to lead you somewhere. You can feel it inside of yourself. That there's something that God wants to deal with you about at that time. But be careful, because the devil's going to try to pull you out of there. The devil's going to try to get there first if he can. He's going to try to bring confusion, bring misunderstanding, bring disunity, bring whatever that he can to break this chain of events, the spiritual continuity that God is trying to minister to you. God is trying to keep you in a certain spiritual momentum. Friends, at those kind of times, separate yourself. Yeah. Walk very sensitively and very cautiously before the Lord. Stay away from contention. Stay away from negativity. Stay away from those places where, you know, like we said, Mr. Critic and Mrs. Skeptic live. Because there's a deep inside of you. And God is trying to draw you on to a certain spiritual place that you've never been before. Because the Lord here wants to bring a certain truth to the prophet. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the prophet's fearing death, and he's fearing what's beyond the grave. And the Lord wants to give him such a revelation, such an unveiling of this truth, that'll completely set him free for the rest of his life. That when he looks like Paul, when Paul went beyond the curtain of time, and Paul came back from the third heaven, what did Paul say? Death, where is your victory? Death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? He didn't fear those things anymore. He'd been beyond. And the prophet, when he came back, he says that, I think it's in the adoption series, he says, the devil uses death. He makes it like a scarecrow to scare you from the glorious something that's just beyond. That's what death is. It's just a scarecrow that comes and tries to make out that, hey, now I'm so scared to die. I wouldn't like to be in that condition. The prophet says, just beyond your last breath, if you knew, is the most glorious thing. It's the most glorious. It's your inheritance just beyond your final breath. But the devil comes with a scarecrow of death. Now, the death of a sinner is a fearful thing. For someone to die outside of Christ, for someone to die not yet having been justified, not yet having been sealed away, it's a fearful thing. Be careful of that. For a person to die who doesn't have peace with God, that's a fearful thing. But the Bible says, blessed in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. Even in the eyes of the Lord, it's a blessed thing. And that's why you find there comes such a blessed anointing at the death of a saint. There's always something supernatural that takes place at that time. Because that person's about to step into that spiritual body, that spiritual dimension. And that dimension comes right down to where the person is and takes that person back into that dimension. And that's why there's such a spiritual atmosphere. when you find one of the saints like Brother Bosworth and he's shaking hands with the saints that have gone before. Because that dimension, God's brought it down. The prophet says, to come and meet the believers about to cross the river. To make it easier at that time. To cross the Jordan. So that dimension stoops down. And friends, that's a type of the seventh seal. That's a type of the dimension that God has opened up under the unveiling of in this day. Because at the end of this which we are under, what's going to happen? That dimension is going to stoop completely down to us. And it's going to take us and we're going to be no more. That's the capacity and potential we have now to fellowship with that dimension. Because God, through the opening of those seals, has opened that dimension. And we now, not physically, but in our souls, we can fellowship continually with that dimension. And the prophet says, science testifies of what God is doing spiritually. And you find now they can take a space station and stick it beyond this atmosphere. They can stick it out there beyond the corruption of this atmosphere. And people can go and live in another atmosphere. They can like live in another dimension. And the prophet says, what happens in science is an indication of what God is doing spiritually as well. A few years back, Gagarin went a few minutes into space and came back. And friends, that's what it's like with us as believers as well. No, for we live for a while in heavenly places and then we come back down to earth again. But I really do believe that the space shuttle came and started taking people for longer journeys out there. The prophet says the astronaut age. And now they've made the Mir space station. They've made the International Space Station. And a man was there for 6 months recently. One man from India, one of the astronauts, stayed there for 6 months living up there. It testifies of something, friend. That God has opened something to us that we don't have to live in a carnal dimension. Yes, this body, this corruption has to live amidst the corruption of this world. But your soul can live in a place continually at this kind of a time. That you can be like Enoch, you can walk with God. You can keep walking with God even in the midst of this corruption. And that's what the prophet broke into, was that dimension. And it was that music that helped him and that deep inside of him of wondering about the word. And it was his time to understand that word. And that's why that Lord took him there. And the prophet says, I would like to hear those sweet harbor bells chime. It would brighten my path and would vanish all fears. Lord, let me look past the curtain of time. That's exactly what was going to happen to the prophet. He was going to look beyond the curtain of time. It was going to make all of his fears vanish. It was going to brighten his path. It was going to show him what God wanted him to see. And that music was exactly a ministration of the experience that God had in store for him. And that's the music that came. And the voice then came following the music. He says, and I heard something say, would you like to see just beyond the curtain? And I said, it will help me so much. And friends, that's what we need on a regular basis. We need to look beyond the curtain. By revelation, by getting our eyes anointed once again. And looking at that which is unseen. That which cannot be seen. Because Paul said, that which is unseen is eternal. Amen. These things are temporary. These things will pass away. But friends, as a believer, as someone who's born again of that incorruptible seed, you have the potential in you that whenever you yield yourself to Him, whenever you draw nigh to Him, you can fellowship with the unseen. Your soul can rise up into that realm. And the longer we spend there, the better, friends, because that's the realm of rapturing faith. This revelation, this revealed dimension that God has opened in this age, that's where rapturing faith is, friends. You just keep bathing your soul there and see what takes place at the end of this journey. And that's how God has opened this to us. He says, it would help me so much. And I looked, and in just a moment, in one breath, I'd come into a little place that's slanted. And I looked back, and there I was laying on the bed. And I said, this is a strange thing. Exactly what happened to Paul. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again. Look what he says in verse 50, in verse 49. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we all shall also bear the image of the heavenly. That's exactly what the prophet's going to relate to as well. Because the prophet sees the image of the earthly lying on his bed. And now the prophet sees himself in the image of the heavenly. And he feels, and he's got hair on his head. And he's a young man once again. And then he starts to see the image of the heavenly. He's broken into Emmanuel's land. He's broken through into the order of Melchizedek. He's seeing this place where Melchizedek is king, where things are governed the way that Melchizedek has ordered things to be governed. That's why you find Paul, when he came back from there, he had such a fascination with Melchizedek. No one else in the Bible, right from Genesis 14 when it speaks of Melchizedek, apart from David in Psalm 110, when he speaks about thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, nobody else in the Bible ever goes to try to find out who Melchizedek is. But Paul goes into this realm and he inherits this immortality for a season in the third heaven. And he sees things which cannot be uttered. And when he comes back, he's going to go in the book of Hebrews. He's going to put chapters about Melchizedek. Why? Because Melchizedek is the king of that land. Melchizedek is God in his theophany. And Paul's been in his theophany. So when he comes back from that realm, he starts to understand theophanies. He starts to understand who is this Melchizedek. He starts to understand things that are to be. And that's why the prophet comes and preaches those things in this day. Because what was revealed to Paul, the mysteries are fulfilled in Brother Branham. And friends, those ministries are just so similar. Paul has to meet the pillar of fire. Brother Branham meets the pillar of fire. Paul goes beyond the curtain of time. Brother Branham goes beyond the curtain of time. It's the Alpha and the Omega. It's God finishing what he began in the beginning. And there's been these ages in the middle where the people didn't understand. They said Melchizedek is a priesthood. Maybe Melchizedek was some man from the place called Salem. But the Bible says he has no father or mother, no beginning of days, no ending of life. Who is this Melchizedek? Then the prophet comes down and says, it's opened at the opening of the seals. And it wasn't revealed for nothing. It was revealed to show who you are as well. Because when you understand who Melchizedek is, what a theophany is, you'll understand who you are as well. Because friends, we are the offspring of Melchizedek. In our theophanies, that's what we are. We have a word body like unto his word body. That's what Paul says. That's how Paul has to come down. When he comes down from that experience in that dimension, the word opens up to him now. Now he starts reading about Melchizedek coming to Abraham. And it's powerful because the Bible says, when Abraham met Melchizedek, it says, Melchizedek blessed him. Oh, and Paul says, my, the lesser is always blessed by the greater. And there was no man greater than Abraham in that day. There was no man greater than Brother Branham in this age. You tell me a man who was greater in this age. There was no one greater than Abraham. Who else would God come down to and say, this is my friend Abraham. Let me take a walk with him today. Friends, when people want to come and criticize the message, when God comes down and says to them, take a little stroll with me, I'll start listening to them. But until that takes place, I'm not listening to Mr. Critic. Until they are transported beyond the curtain of time, I'm not going to listen to them. Imagine a man that God says, while you're alive, come and see this realm. And God takes a man beyond the curtain of time and says, I wanted just to show you the order of Melchizedek. Go back and tell the rest of my brethren. And you want to argue with a man like that? Friends, the prophet says you've got to be a little bit more of a delinquent than me to be able to argue with a person like that. And that's why the Christian world in this age, they hate Paul. Because Paul put a woman in her place. And the prophet says, the God of this age is a woman. But Paul, he put everything in its place, friends. He says, woman shall not preach. It's not authorized. Woman has no authority to take authority over a man. And friends, I don't like it in this age. But to those that have a representation beyond the curtain of time, which is formed in the image of the word, though your flesh may groan sometimes, like Paul says, but your soul says amen to those things. Because the sisters have a heavenly representation, the same as the brothers. But there's an order in the kingdom of Melchizedek. And a woman has her place in this order. And a man has his place in this order. And when the prophet got there, he saw that order. He was raised up to a higher place and was told, you're a leader. So there's an order in that place. And you are gathered with your people. There was an order. It wasn't just a disorderly gathering up there. It was the gathering of those of like precious faith under their messenger. And then Jesus was a little bit higher. That was the order of that dimension. There was an order. And friends, we in this natural are just unfolding the same order. That's all that we've got to do in this life is what's happening in that dimension. In the substance, we are but the shadow of what's happening there. And like we said last week, if we just get in tune with our theophany, with what God spoke of us, that word body, friends, we're not going to have any disorder among ourselves. We'd never have any disorder. Because we don't have disorder there, so we'll never have disorder here. And the more we start getting in tune and walking in that channel, the greater and more sweet the fellowship's going to be. And God's going to continue to lead us and guide us in this great order that He's established. But Paul, he went into that place. And what does he say there in verse 50? Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. He knew it by experience. Brother Branham knew it by experience. The flesh and blood was left on the bed. And he looked at himself. He said, this isn't flesh and blood. When you inherit this inheritance, it's not a flesh and blood inheritance. Flesh and blood stays behind. There's got to be a change. Something's got to take place to take your soul, your life, beyond the realm of flesh and blood. And then you'll inherit this inheritance. And that's the revelation that he got. And he says, verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. Now friends, many people preach mysteries and make them greater mysteries. But Paul came, the purpose of him showing a mystery so that it wouldn't be a mystery anymore. And that's how you know somebody showed you a mystery. Because it's not a mystery anymore. A mystery is one of the meaning of a mystery is the hidden counsels and purposes of God. That's what's included in a mystery. And Paul now understood this mystery of what's beyond your final breath. Of who is this Melchizedek. Of what takes place in that immortal and invisible realm. And he could come back and he could say, brethren, I'm going to show you a mystery. I'm going to reveal this mystery. And it was never fully understood until the prophet came in this age. And the prophet came and brought the full light on that mystery. Because it's the age of the resurrection. It's the time of the rapture. That revelation has to come forth in our age. Now he says there in verse 50, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's what I said in the beginning, friends, we have an inheritance. God has reserved an inheritance for us. This is the inheritance of the children of God. Let's see what Peter says about it in 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll take some scriptures just to really put a scriptural background. Because everything that you find in the message comes from the scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Look what Peter says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So when Christ resurrected, we get resurrected spiritually. We're begotten again, verse 3, verse 4. To what? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Hey, that's what Brother Branham saw. He saw this inheritance, undefiled, incorruptible, that fades not away, reserved in that heavenly place for us. It's waiting for you. If we have to wait for it to come at the coming of Christ, or if you go by the way of the grave and you have to step into that inheritance. Friends, to the believer, to the predestinated, there's an incorruptible inheritance which has been reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5, he says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. So God's going to keep you through faith, through revelation until you get there. That's why he sends the message of the hour to you. That's why he brings the revelation of the word. Whenever the enemy wants to come to try to defile you, to try to get you off course, God is going to keep you. He's going to reserve this inheritance for you. And he's going to keep you by the power of God through faith unto this full salvation. This is the end of your salvation. Ready to be revealed in the last time. So when is it really revealed? It's in the last time. And that's why all the souls under the altar, all the saints beyond the curtain, they're still waiting for this full inheritance. Because you weren't supposed to dwell without a body. You weren't supposed to be made so we couldn't eat or drink. God never desired that for us. In this order, we're supposed to eat. We're supposed to drink. We're supposed to have a body like unto his own glorious body. But those souls that are waiting there, when Brother Bram got there, the saints, what did they say? They said, yeah, we don't eat and we don't drink and we don't sleep. That's not yet the full inheritance. The full inheritance is when those theophanies come down and take on the glorified body. And then you're in the fullness of your inheritance now. Now you're in the eternal inheritance that God had for you. Now you're dwelling in the very image that God desired you to dwell. It's when your celestial body, your theophany, joins together with this mortal body. Joins together, then you have a glorified body. Then the prophet says, then we can eat and drink. Then it's the marriage supper. And Jesus says, I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine again until I come in the kingdom of my Father. And friends, that's what you're waiting for. And that's why we'll never fully be satisfied here. No matter what experience you have with God, no matter what revelation he gives to you, you're still going to groan while we're in this body. Because we haven't inherited the fullness of this inheritance, but we've been kept by the power of God through faith. God keeps his children until we get to that full inheritance. And that's to be revealed in the last days. And that's the age that we're in. And that's why the prophet had to be taken there, come down with the revelation, because it's the time now. It's the season of the resurrection. It's the time for the full inheritance to come back, because the Lamb takes the book, which is the title deed. And that's the age that we're living in. So, but then he balances it out, Peter, in verse 6. He says, yes, what a glorious inheritance you have. But he says, wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Because we bypass our theophany to be tempted, to develop a Christ-like character, so that we can be overcomers, because thrones are only for overcomers. He that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne. And that's why we put you in the flesh, bypassing that inheritance, so that we can develop our soul, that attribute can come to a certain character through the manifold temptations that we go through. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, so our faith is going to have to be tried in this part of the journey, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus. So you can see where we are in this great program of God. We're right at the brink. The trumpets have sounded for the Jews. There's one trumpet left, Moses and Elijah. Yes, sir. That's the seventh trump. And at the last trump, we shall be changed. That's what Paul says. We're right at the end of this Gentile dispensation. Joseph hasn't yet revealed himself to his brethren. He's still with Asenath, his bride. She hasn't been dismissed to the palace yet. So we know how close we are, friends. And more so when God confirms these things through the ministry of the prophet. So this was a mystery. Now, when Jesus came and he died and he resurrected, he came in his glorified body to the disciples, to them on the way to Emmaus. But they never understood the significance of what it meant. It took Paul to come to reveal these things. It needed Paul to come. Let's go and have a look a little bit at Jesus himself. Luke chapter 20, verse 34. Jesus brought the revelation of these things that Paul comes to unveil and the prophet comes to tie up all the loose ends in the end time. Luke 20, verse 34. Jesus is speaking about the same principle. And Jesus answering said unto them, remember they came and said, if there is a resurrection, there was a certain man who had a wife, and then he died, and then his wife was married by the brother, and he died. And so in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? That was the question. So Jesus comes and says, you don't understand this dimension.
Yes, sir.
And he says it in verse 20, 34. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry. So marriage and children and sex and all that thing, it's all part of this corruption, friends.
Yes, sir.
It's all part of this order of the first Adam. But in the order of Melchizedek, there's none of those things. That's why when the prophet got there and those women came in the radiance of youth and they came and embraced him, the prophet says, there was nothing there. He says, because there were no sex glands there. Because the children of the resurrection neither marry nor are given in marriage. And you'll see Jesus says the same thing here. He says, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world. And the prophet went into that world. And he saw what that world was like. And Paul went into that world. And friends, one of these days it's going to be like when we pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Because that world is going to be in this world. And that's going to be the millennium. And then there's going to be the eternal, the eighth day, the new heavens and the new earth. We'll get to it. Melchizedek City. We'll see the city of the glorified, of the souls of just men made perfect, an innumerable company of them that'll be gathered in that great order of the heavenly. But first we have to bear the order of the earthly. We have to marry, given in marriage, enjoy our children. There's nothing wrong with those things. As long as it's done in holy wedlock. As long as it's done in accordance with God's order. But friends, that finishes at the end of this age. And that's what Jesus is teaching. They which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore. And that's what the prophet came back and said. He says, they can't get tired there. They can't die there. They don't need to sleep there. That's what Jesus was teaching. They can neither can they die anymore. For they are equal unto the angels. They're not the angels. But they're equal unto the angels. They're immortal beings. And are the children of God. Being the children of the resurrection. And friends, I'm so glad to associate with the children of the resurrection. And what is the proof of it is that you've been resurrected from the corruption of this age. Is that you no longer live in the dimension of this age. Your soul is not in Laodicea. The prophet says your soul is in that eternal church age. Beyond the seven church ages. God has opened a dimension to take his people. And that dimension, God is calling his people from that dimension through the unveiling of the message of the hour. It's roll call time. He's calling the children of the resurrection. He's calling his children. That's exactly where we're living. The prophet says, in present stage of my ministry, he says, now when I saw that place and that condition that those people were in, how beyond anything this world could ever think of, it was glorious. There could be no sin there. No death, no nothing could enter that spot. There was no difference between man and woman. Only the sex glands were gone from them. There could be no more adultery, no nothing. But she was still a woman in the way of her figure. And a man was still the figure of a man. And they'll be forever that way. So God made you a certain way. And you are a shadow. You are a reflection of things that are to be. And friends, our fellowshipping here tonight is a reflection of things that are to be. It's not going to end. This fellowship that we have never is going to end. The relationship that we have as the children of the resurrection is never going to end. It's just going to continue on in the other dimension. Because our fellowship in this world has broken into that realm already. Therefore, we go now into that dimension and things that are to be. That's how the prophet preached that message. Now, Jesus, when he resurrected from the dead, his disciples didn't understand this principle. Let's go to John chapter 20, verse 25. John 20, 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, to Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the prints of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. It's like some believers. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus. Friends, is that not a wonderful thing what you hear it? Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. In that form that he's in, he's not governed by the rules of this world. He's not. The doors being shut, and he stood in the midst, And what did he say to them? He said, Shalom. He said, peace be unto you. We'll see it on Sunday. Whenever he comes, you see the cloud. When he comes in the time of the resurrection, he always says shalom to his bride. He always says shalom when he comes. And he came and he said, shalom, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless but believing. And they came and they handled him. And he was real and he was substance. And there were the wounds in his hands and there was a wound in his side. Because that theophany Melchizedek who went down and preached to the souls that were in prison. When the body lay on the slab in the tomb. On the resurrection morning, that theophany came back. United with his natural body. That body was transformed into the glorified body. And that's the form now that he appeared to his disciples. He wasn't just a spirit being anymore. It wasn't just in his word body. He now was in his glorified body. My. And look what he could do. Luke chapter 26. Just to confirm how it all fits so perfectly together. Luke 26. Let's read verse 36. He appears again to his disciples. Luke 24, 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Shalom. Peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted because they didn't yet understand this principle. Just like the prophet was afraid as well. We're all afraid until we catch the revelation of what this all means. And they supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? Showing us not his theophany. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. He was now in that glorified condition. Now he could eat once again. Now he could drink of the wine of the kingdom. He was in that condition once again. And friends, that's what we're seeking for as believers. That's what our souls are groaning for. That's what the Bible says. Let's finish over a few more scriptures. Let's go and see what Paul said about this as well. Philippians 3 verse 21. Paul was the master at this. Verse 21, Philippians 3, it says, who shall change our vile body? I'm sure you agree with me, this is a vile body. This body gets sick, it gets weak, it gets a headache, it weighs you down, it gets in the way of your prayer, gets in the way of your worship, gets in the way of the will of God. It's a vile body. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? Friends, that's your inheritance, is to have a body like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. 1 John chapter 3. John understood this as well. He didn't have a full understanding because it was given to Paul. But John understood. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. He says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. Yeah, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Now there's a certain part of this, the prophet says, a mystery is something, and even when it's unveiled, it retains a mysterious element. It's like, what exactly are we going to be doing there? The prophet never really explained that. That's what we were speaking with Brother Pavel, Brother Vitaly, and then when we went with Brother Virgus to Vilnius. And it got onto the topic about what will interpreters be doing there? Who knows? We'll have to see it when you get there. That's why he says, it does not yet appear. Certain things are clear, but the fullness of what that dimension of living in that world to come is. Friends, we don't have a full understanding of that yet. That's why he says it there. He says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So we need to see him as he is, and then we become like him. That's why he had to reveal himself in this age. That's why he had to unveil himself in this age. so that we can be like him. The next verse, this is the key. Verse 3. And every man that hath this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Friends, you can't have this hope. You can't have this deep. You can't have this longing. You can't have this reality of something that's telling you to press on and still play around with this world. And be satisfied with this world. When you get defiled by the world, you purify yourself. Every man that has this hope purifies himself. That's why you can tell somebody who's experienced it, friends, who's got that heavenly calling, who's heard the voice from the supernatural realm, who's got a representation that you'll purify yourself. It means you're going to defile yourself now and again. You're going to make your mistakes. Let's get back to Paul, and we finish with him. 1 Corinthians 15 again. Let's look at verse 35. Just to show that no matter how vindicated a messenger is, you're always going to have the critic. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Verse 36. Look how Paul would answer them. Thou fool! I say it using Paul's words. There's many fools in this world now. Yes. Fools who disbelieve the cloud. Yes. Fools who disbelieve the prophet's visions. Amen. I'm not insulting anybody. I'm just saying what Paul said. Yes. He said, thou fool! Amen. That's what he said. I'm not saying it personally. I'm just mirroring what Paul said. Yes. People are looking at me saying you shouldn't call someone a fool. I'm not speaking to anyone personally. I'm speaking of a spiritual principle that Paul used. It says, thou fool. Thou foolish man. Yes. Thou fool. That which thou sowest is not quickened except to die. So he says, look at this body. This body is, it's going to have to die, this body. In order to get into the real body, or something's got to change this corruption. Verse 37, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be. So when you take that grain of wheat and you put it in the ground, you're not going to get that grain of wheat. You're going to get a stalk and tassels, and you get the pollen, then you're going to get a head of wheat, and you're going to get seed. So you're sowing something in corruption, like he's going to say, and something else comes out from that. And that's how he's showing the resurrection. He says, verse 38, but God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Verse 40, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. And the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Why? He knows it. He's seen the glory of the terrestrial bodies. The prophet went, the celestial bodies, saw those celestial bodies. It says their teeth were shining like pearls. It says their eyes were shining like the stars at night. It says they were in perfection. That was a glory of a celestial body. And friends, unfortunately, then he had to look at the terrestrial body starting to move on the bed once again. And he says, surely I don't have to go back to that body once again. And they said, you do need to go back. And then he found himself back in the terrestrial body once again. But that's what Paul happened to Paul as well. That's why he understood the things. Verse 42, it says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Look at saints when they die. It's dishonor. Their bodies give way. They struggle and all the different things that takes place when somebody dies. It's sown in that kind of a way. But it's not raised in that kind of a way. Verse 44. It is sown a natural body. We put Sister Justina in the grave as a natural body. But it is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. Paul really understood that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 1. He understood these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Paul says, for we know. He knew. Brother Branham knew. He says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul knew. He had been in that body. He says, we know. He says, it doesn't matter about the critic and people that disbelieve. He says, I know. I was there. I saw them there. I tasted of Emmanuel's land, of that realm. He says, verse 2, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. That's why, like I said, friends, it doesn't matter how deep you go in your experiences in this life. It doesn't matter how deep your revelation. You're still going to groan inwardly. Because you haven't yet attained that which you ordained to attain. You'll never fully be satisfied. The Lord will heal you, rejoice. After a while, that healing will lose its impact. The Lord will allow you to have a powerful experience that'll last for some time, and then you'll be groaning in yourself once again. You'll be deep inside of you will still be seeking for full satisfaction. It's seeking for this perfection that we're speaking about. He says, verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. There's nothing wrong with the saint being burdened. We're all burdened. This body is going to burden you. This life's going to burden you. The trials of this life are going to burden you. It's all part of the process. That's why you bypassed your theophany. Yes. And these burdens are for a purpose. They're trying to teach you something. They're trying to put something in you, which is going to... The only thing the prophet says that you can take there is your character. That's the only thing that you can take. It says being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, like Laodicea, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. So when we, that theophany unites, you're now clothed upon. We want it to be clothed upon, he says. Verse 5. Now he that hath wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. So you've already received the down payment of this. If you've been born again of the Spirit of Christ, if Christ has resurrected you from the dead, spiritually speaking, you've already got the down payment. That's the proof. That's the proof that there's going to be the full inheritance waiting for you. That's what Paul always brings it to, and the prophet. I'll finish with what the prophet says. Let's look at Romans 8. We'll read that as second last scripture. Like I said, just a bit of a Bible study tonight. Romans 8, verse 19. Paul says, for the earnest expectation of the creature, creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, like your body, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature, creation, itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons, children of God. And the prophet went there to that realm where there was the perfect liberty, the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. That's your full adoption. You can be adopted spiritually here, placed in your position, and you're still going to groan. You're still going to be burdened. Because you haven't yet got the full adoption, because this, you're still in this body. The full adoption is your glorified body, your glorified condition. That's the adoption of the believer. And that's how you'll rule and reign with him in the millennium. That's how you'll live with him in Melchizedek City, the great pyramid city, Mount Zion, the real, the heavenly Jerusalem. That's the form that you'll be dwelling there. We'll see that as we go. Let me just show what the prophet says. We'll read a couple of quotes as we close. The prophet says it here. Let's just look at this prerequisite of getting there. The prophet says, when he was beyond the curtain of time, he says, and I looked this way and that. This is rejected king. And they were coming by the thousands. And I said, I don't understand this. And here came hope. That was my first wife. She ran and she never said, my husband. She said, my precious brother. And when she hugged me, there was another woman standing there that had hugged me. And then Hope hugged this woman. And I thought, this has to be something different. He says, because Sister Hope was very jealous when she was here on earth. But there's no jealousy there. Amen. Something's changed. Amen. This is the land of perfect love. Yes, this is the realm of agape. Yeah. This is Emmanuel's land. Amen. There's no more jealousy there. Amen. And when the prophet saw this woman hug Brother Branham, and then Sister Hope went and hugged that woman, he said, this is something different here. Because I knew on earth she was a jealous woman. But the jealousy was part of this mortal that we inherit from our mother and our father. Of the first Adam, this first nature, which dwells in this mortal frame that will be dissolved when we go into that tabernacle. All be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And then all the attributes of corruption, all the attributes of the first Adam will be done away with. And we'll take on the image of the last Adam. The second Adam, that's what it is at the resurrection. So the prophet says, and I heard a voice then that spoke to me that was in the room, said, this is what you preached was the Holy Ghost. Friends, that's what the Holy Ghost is, friends. That's why if you can still be jealous in your soul, you hate people, you've got unforgiveness, I start to question that kind of an experience. The prophet says, when we got there, it says the voice said, this is what you preached was the Holy Ghost. That dimension in the soul of a person. Look what it enables them to do. The prophet says, when those women were coming in their perfection, he says, and they came and they hugged me, he says, they all of a sudden came over me an overwhelming love. An overwhelming love. When he saw his brothers and he saw his sisters, there was an overwhelming love. That's what's in that realm, friends. And we already are partakers of that realm in our souls. But sometimes when we yield to the black horse, we don't feed the white horse enough. This black horse starts getting the preeminence and we can't forgive our brother. We can't forgive our sister. We don't feel an overwhelming love when we see one another. We've got to break beyond that dimension again, friends. We've got to get our souls bathed in that dimension once again. Lay in the presence of Emmanuel himself. And let that dimension have a real effect in your experience once again. And you're going to look at things different in this world. Because the prophet says, when I came back from there, I was a changed man. So I can never be the same Brother Branham that I was. And it's going to be the same with us, exactly the same. The prophet says, this is what you preached was the Holy Ghost. This is perfect love. And nothing can enter here without that. Friend, that's the only qualification you need to be there apart from predestination. Is perfect love. Yes. You've got to have perfect love in your experience, friends. That's the qualification. The prophet says, I am more determined than ever in my life that it takes perfect love to enter there. There was no jealousy. There was no tiredness. There was no death. Sickness could never enter there. Mortality could never make you old. And they could not cry. It was just one joy. Oh, my precious brother. Our friends, and God has opened that realm to us in this age. I think we need to partake of that realm in a greater measure, friends. We need to lay in His presence until it soaks down and bathes down into our experience so that we can manifest what we're supposed to manifest. The prophet then finishes, when he finishes telling this vision and rejected king, he says, if I could make up yonder 100 billion miles high, a square block, that's perfect love. Each step down this way, it narrows until we get to where we are now. It's just merely a shadow of corruption. I wish there was some way I could explain it to you. There's no words, I couldn't find it. It's not found everywhere, anyway. But just beyond this last breath is the most glorious thing that you ever. He says, whatever you do, friends, lay aside everything else until you get perfect love. He comes back to the same thing again. Get to that spot where you can love everybody. every enemy. Everything else. That's the qualification. Though we speak with tongues of men and angels and have not agape, we're not yet qualified for that place. Though we know all mysteries, though we can prophesy, though we have faith that we can move mountains, Paul said, and have not this, we're not yet qualified for that land. Because the qualification is agape. It's a perfect love. And that's what the prophet, when he came back from there, he said, don't rest. Do everything required. Lay aside everything that's required to get to that spot of perfect love. He says, that one visit there has made me a different man. I can never be the same Brother Branham that I was. Get perfect love. Then he finishes, says, now, while you write where you are, he's doing an altar call. You are just real sweet. Why don't you say to Father, God, within my heart today, I renounce all the things of the world. I renounce everything to love you and serve you all my life. And I will. From this day henceforth, I will follow every scripture in your Bible. If you have not been baptized in Christian baptism, the prophet says, say, I will, Lord. If I have not yet received the Holy Ghost, now look what he says. You will know when you've received it. It will give it to you. It will give you the assurance and the love that you need. Because it's the same spirit that dwells in that immortal land. It's the spirit that governs there. It'll be in your soul. Whenever you just get yourself yielded before the Lord, you'll just break in your soul into the atmosphere once again. And when you thought you were so offended by this person, you were so disappointed by what this person did, you find it doesn't matter anymore. There's a certain something that's just come and overtaken all of the things of this mortal realm, and the immortal things will become real to you and more important to you once again. And the prophet says, that's what the Holy Ghost is. Oh yes, you might have had different like sensations, like you might have spoke with tongues or shouted, which is fine. But if that divine love isn't there, he says, say, Lord, place within my heart and in my soul the reaching of your spirit, that I might love and honor and have the divine love in my heart today that will take me to that land when my final breath leaves me. Friends, I love the balance of the prophet. The prophet had such a balance. He knew that all these other things, we can focus on them. We can focus on the revelation we've received. We can focus on the miracles that we've seen done. We can focus that I've spoken tongues of men and angels. And those are wonderful things in themselves. But that's not yet perfection. This realm, it's the place of perfect love. He finishes it in the adoption series. He says it in adoption part two. He says, if this earthly tabernacle of our habitation be dissolved, there's one waiting yonder. Just as soon as we step out of this one, we step into that one. One that doesn't want a cold drink of water. That don't have any need of it. This is not, it's not of the dust of the earth, but they're just as real and can feel and can shake hands and just love and everything is perfect. That body is waiting yonder. He says, and you begin your eternal life right here at the altar. Here's where you start eternity. Then you are born again, a son of God. And then when you die, when death strikes you in this body, and the heart quits beating, and the mortal wheels begin to stand still, that little shadow that was a shadow of the shadow, in 1 second it becomes the shadow of the shadow. Then the next one, it becomes the shadow. Then it becomes a little trinkle. And then it becomes a creek. And the next thing, it becomes a river. And next, it becomes the ocean. And after a while, you're standing in the presence of your loved ones, standing yonder, clothed in the garments of a celestial body. And you'll know one another. And you'll love one another. You've turned back to a young man and a young woman again. Exactly right. And it waits there. Amen. until the coming of the Lord Jesus. And someday, that celestial body will leave heaven with Jesus. For I say unto you, Paul said, 2 Thessalonians, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning those that are asleep. For the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. These celestial bodies come down and put on earthly glorified bodies. And we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. Let's stand, saints. That's your inheritance. That's the promise. That's the very purpose, as we know, that the message came for. And that's why Paul said, be steadfast. Be unmovable. Because, friends, these labors have a great reward. And let's keep pressing on until we fully in our inheritance in this great order of Melchizedek. Let's sing a song of the saints as we finish.
When I come to
sorry, let's sing that song if you don't mind. I'm thinking of the rapture in the blessed home on earth. Amen.
I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high. When the redeemed are gathering in, my Lord, how we'll raise that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. When the redeemed are gathering in,
when the redeemed,
when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin,
free from sin,
I will shine. Gathering in, there will be a great procession over on the streets of gold. When the redeemed are gathering in,
my Lord,
oh what music, oh what singing, oh the city will be rolled. When the redeemed are gathering in,
when the redeemed,
when the redeemed are gathering in,
gathering in,
washed like snow and free from sin,
free from sin,
how we'll shine. And I will sing
when the redeemed
are gathering in. Saints will sing redemption's story with their voices clear and strong. When the redeemed are gathering in, angels will sing, for they cannot join our song.
When the redeemed
are gathering in,
oh,
when the redeemed are gathering in,
wash like snow,
and free from.
From sin,
how we'll
shout,
and
I will sing, we'll sing,
when the redeemed are gathering in, then the Savior will give orders to bring. repay the banquet bowl.
Whoa.
When the redeemed are gathering in, and we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord. When the redeemed are gathering in,
oh my Lord,
when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow, and
free from sin,
how we'll shout, and how we'll sing,
when the redeemed,
are gathering in.
Sing that song, When the Saints Go Marching In. I want to be in that number, When the Saints Go Marching In.
I'm a pilgrim and a stranger, wandering through this world of sin, on my way to that fair city. When the saints go marching in,
whoa,
when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in,
oh, I know I'll see my Savior
if my life is free from sin. Heaven's doors will open for me when the saints go marching in.
Oh, when the saints go marching in,
when the saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, when we gather around the throne, when the gates are closed within, I'll be shouting, glory, glory, when the saints go marching in.
Oh, when the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in.
Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, I am waiting for my chariot to swing low and I'll step in. On the cloud I'll rise to heaven when the saints go marching in.
Oh, when the saints go marching in,
when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in,
oh, when the saints, oh,
when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in.
But you know what you got to do? You got to come to the end of time. Because we're eternal beings in our souls, friends. But if you're still governed by time and your priorities are still in this realm of time, you're not yet living in the place that you're supposed to be. Let's sing that song about coming to the end of time. Walking in the footsteps of Elohim. We want to come to the end of time. Is that not where you want to get to perfect love? That's the whole aim, because you have chosen the narrow path. And friends, this is a narrow path. Not everybody can walk this path. Not everybody is ordained to walk in this message. To a lot of people, it's an offense. It's a stumbling block. But to us, it's the capstone. Just these are the stepping stones that take us onwards. Not everybody is ordained. You should really thank the God. Like Jesus said, blessed are your eyes that can see.
Because you have chosen a narrow path, the hardest way. There's a great portion of heaven is waiting for you,
oh,
because of what you decided.
Oh,
that was the prophecy.
Was a prophecy
the angel told to the great messenger. That is what will produce.
That is what will produce great victory
in the love divine.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path. There's many trials and many battles against the enemy. By His Holy Spirit,
by His Holy Spirit,
will lead us to perfect life.
There is not much time remaining.
There is not much time remaining
for to walk
in this path. We can already hear the chariot.
We can hear the chariot of our beloved one. So I will walk this path. I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I want to get to the end of time. That even many trials. This path has many trials, many battles.
battles against the enemy.
But His Holy Spirit will lead us to perfect love. Oh, there is not much time remaining. There is not much time remaining. Oh, to turn this path. Can already hear the, oh, we can hear the chariot of our beloved one coming to meet us. Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path in the footsteps of
your desire. That's a desire of any person that has ever experienced anything from that realm that is divine.
Hallelujah.
You can never be satisfied in this realm once again. There's a certain deep in the music that ministers to you. There's a certain something eternal in these things. And when you read the word, when you get in the message, when you put on those tapes, there's a certain deep, there's a certain eternal that speaks to you. There's something that encourages you and urges you to keep pressing on. Because there's still something ahead. Is that your experience? If that's not your experience, the prophet says eternal life starts at the altar.
Hallelujah.
By just yielding yourself to Him, and you let that quickening power come into your soul. By just raising your hand to Him and saying, Jesus, I want to be there on that day. I don't want to die like Rahab said with these unbelievers here, Lord. As we see time coming to an end, I don't want to be here. As the song says, oh my loving brother, when the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Don't you want to be hidden in the cleft of the rock like with Moses? Don't you want to be ministered by His grace by just yielding to His word, yielding to His spirit? Don't you want to just be ministered under the token that the blood will be on display, that the blood of the Lamb will be between you and the judgment? Don't you want to be in that refuge upon this day? If there's anything in your life that's not under that refuge, if anything's come from under the blood, why not just speak to Him a little bit and say, Lord, I just want to put it under the blood once again. I just want to come, Lord. I just want to come into this place of safety. I just want to come into this place where the secret place of the Most High, until your wrath be passed over. I just want to hide myself in Christ. Is that not your desire upon this day? Just inside of your heart, why not just speak to Him and say, Lord, I accept it now. I just fully want to be in Christ. I just want the things of time. I just want the things of this life. I just want things that are corruptible, Lord, not to govern my life. I want things, Lord, that are eternal to govern my life. I want to be governed from beyond the veil. I want you, Lord, to be within the veil, that you may be the pilot of the boat, that you may be the great captain of the ship to bring my soul into this haven of rest. Why don't you just speak to the Lord a little bit, saying, let's have a short time of prayer before we go from this place. If you don't know the Lord the way that you should, say, Lord, minister me there. I yield myself, Lord. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do, but I'm giving myself to you today. I'm just saying, Lord, you're the one's going to have to change me, Lord. You know my thoughts, Lord, they're not right. Lord, you know my desires, they're not right. But you, through the power of transformation, by your grace, you are able to come and bring everything in conformity to you. Whatever you desire before the Lord, why not just speak to him just for a few minutes, saints? Let's call upon his name. Let's just yield ourselves to him, desiring to come to the end of time, desiring that divine love. The prophet says to come to that place that you can love even your enemy. Lord, may you help us come to that place upon this night. That, Lord, you may just lay it all aside. Father, it is our desire to lay aside all that is carnal, all that is natural, Lord. All that would stand in the way and all that would hinder, Lord. Father, not to feed the black horse, Lord. But, Father, to lay in the presence of the Son, Lord. At the rising of the Son, Lord Jesus, just to lay in the presence, Lord, of your power of transformation. Even at this time is our desire that, Lord, you may transform.
You bring such conviction, Lord, even unto you, Lord Savior, for that that you done, Lord Savior. Lord, to wrong his penance, Lord Savior, God, I pray, Lord Savior, for our brother James, Lord Savior, we give it to you for the comfort of Lord. Father, we thank thee for this word that you give unto us, O God. Father, when we look, Lord, and we see, Lord, even in this, these are the things that, Lord, Father, are to be, O God. Father, Lord, and we know, Father, like Abraham, Father, we're searching for a city whose builder and maker is God, Father. Like the prophet said, Lord, Father, it's a reality, Lord, that it's a literal place that we would go to, Father. Knowing indeed, Lord, Father, we would dwell in those bodies prepared for us before the foundation of the world. But, Father, we would dwell in a place, O God. Father, Lord, if, Lord Jesus, you'd not spoken that, Father, Lord, it wouldn't mean there was a place, but you spoke those things, Father, because you knew. Father, oh, you have great plans for us, O God. And you spoke those things before we even came into existence. But, Lord, we are glad that before we were planned for, you had planned for us, O God. Father, we glorify thee tonight, Lord, and we give to thee, Father, the praise that belongeth unto thee, O God. Father, knowing indeed, Lord Savior, when you came down in those various dispensations, Lord. Father, Lord, we see you in Melchizedek, Lord. Father, Lord, and we see, Lord Savior, Father, the very dispensations, Lord. Son of man, Lord. Son of David, Lord. Father, King of kings, O God. We call you King Theophany tonight, Lord God. Because you prepared for us, O God. Father, Lord, even a place, O God. Lord, and I'm glad, Lord Savior, when this body, Lord Savior, Father, is caving in like it is, O God. Lord, when the heart, Lord Savior, gives problems, Lord. Father, Lord, I know, Lord, I have a place, Lord. Father, where, Lord Savior, these problems would be no more, Lord Savior God. Oh, Jesus, I look unto thee, knowing indeed, Lord Savior, there's my part that I ought to play. Father, Lord, I'd ask, Lord, that I would, Lord Savior, play it wisely, Lord Savior God. Lord, that I'd act out, Lord Savior, that you purposed, Lord. Father, long before, Father, I was planned for, Lord Savior God. For all I do, Lord Savior, is just walk in your steps, oh God. Father, we look unto thee, Lord, and we are grateful tonight, Lord, that we can come to a place like this, oh God. And we can, Lord Savior, confide in thine word, Lord. And we can cherish one another, Lord. Even at Lord Savior. Father, Lord, these messages, oh God. Father, knowing in the Lord Savior, the prophet, Lord. Father, Lord, came in this day, Savior. Lord, you gave him, Lord, even an experience, Lord, Father, beyond Lord Savior, what we could imagine, Lord Savior God. But you let that happen, Lord, in our day, Lord Savior. Lord, that when Lord Savior, these times would come when people would try to say this, that, or the other of the prophet, Lord Savior. Lord, and the cloud and the various things, oh God. Lord, we comfort one another, Lord, even in those words, oh God. Amen. And we are grateful tonight, Lord Savior God, that we have tonight, Lord, Father, on the throne, representation, Lord Savior God. We have, Lord Savior, the great high priest, Lord Savior. Lord, giving, Lord Savior, intercession for us, oh God. Knowing you need, Lord Savior, that, Lord, we would falter, though we would fall, Father. Though, Lord Savior, we may, Lord Savior, be low at times, oh God. But, Lord, your blood atones for us, oh God. And we are grateful, Father. For, Lord, you have gathered us here, Lord Savior God. You have gathered us by a shout, Lord Savior God. You have, Lord Savior, placed us in this very place, oh God. We didn't choose to come, Lord Savior, to Dublin, Lord. But, Lord, we are glad to be here tonight, Lord. And we are glad, Lord Savior, we are acting out, Lord, Father, as you desire, Lord Savior God. We pray your blessing, Lord Savior, even upon thine servant.
servant, Lord Savior. For Lord, we know and we are convinced, Lord, that that was a sure word that came directly from Thee, Lord Savior. Projecting, Lord Savior, Lord, Your thoughts and Your desires toward us, O God. Father, we are so happy, Lord. And we would desire, Lord Savior, to go, Lord. Lord, and ponder, Lord, even upon these things, Lord. Ponder, Lord, even upon those very messages, Lord Savior. Ministered concerning these things, Lord Savior. For Lord, we believe, Lord. Father, as the prophet said, Lord, they would give us rapturing faith, Lord Savior God. They would place us even in a position, Lord Savior, where, Lord, the prophet said, Lord, when the bride gets to know who she really is, oh God, Lord, then we'd be, Lord Savior, convincible army, Lord Savior God, an invincible army, Lord Savior God. Father, Lord, just give us grace, Lord. Help us that we would equip ourselves, Lord, whilst we have time, Lord Savior God. And when Your word would bid us, Lord, Father, Lord God, we would respond positively, Lord Savior God. We commit all things unto Thee. Bless us as we part, Lord God. Father, oh God, what can we say? Father, Lord God, You have fed us sumptuously tonight, Lord God. We pray that when we come Sunday, Lord God, we'd come with expectation, Lord Savior God. Lord, we'd come, Lord Savior, so fired up, Lord Savior. Lord, desiring to hear, Father, Lord, even of this, Lord Savior. Lord, Father, city of Melchizedek, Lord Savior. Father, we believe, Lord, and we are persuaded, Lord. Father, that is the very place that we go to, Lord Savior God. Bless us now, hear us now, even as we part. Bless, Lord Savior, the saints that would travel long distances, Lord. Grant them traveling mercies, Lord Savior God, and bring us back, Lord, on Sunday, Lord. Them that didn't come, Lord Savior, yes. You know the situation, Father. You bring them back, Lord, even on Sunday, Lord Savior God. Lord, that we'd be in one accord in one place, O God, waiting upon Thee, O God. Yes. Father, we look unto Thee now, Lord Savior God. Give us grace, Lord, even as we part. You bless us as we part, Lord Savior God, for we desire to come back Sunday, Lord. Father, to have bread and wine with Melchizedek, Lord. We pray Your blessing, Lord Savior. You be glorified. We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Just keep Brother Vlad, Sister Lydia. They couldn't make it tonight. They asked for prayer as well. Let's finish with that song. We don't sing it. I haven't sung it for a long time. I don't know if we have for a long time, but have you sung it when He's coming soon? Good stuff.
Sing it tonight.
Oh, we sing it tonight today. Okay, good stuff. Let's sing that song again. It's a wonderful song. In these, the closing days of time.
Closing days of time. What joy the glorious hope affords. That soul, oh wondrous truth
sublime,
He shall reign, King of kings and Lord of lords.
Alleluia.
He's coming soon. He's coming very soon.
Very soon,
with
I know.
Joy,
with joy
we welcome His return. It may be morning. It may be night.
I don't know.
But I know coming soon. The signs around me
in earth and air,
oh, painted on the starlit sky, God's faithful witnesses declare.
Oh, they declare
that the coming of the Savior draweth nigh.
Alleluia.
He's coming soon. He's coming very soon.
With joy
we welcome His return. It may be more. But I know He's coming soon. The dead in Christ who need us lie,
who need us lie,
in countless numbers so shall rise. When through the portals
of the sky,
the sky.
He shall come to prepare our paradise.
Alleluia.
He's coming
soon.
He's coming
very
soon.
With joy
we welcome his
return.
Coming soon, and we who living yet remain,
who living yet remain,
Kota shall meet our faithful Lord. This hope we cherish not in vain.
We cherish not in vain.
But we comfort one another
by this word.
He's coming
soon.
He's coming
very soon. With joy we welcome his return.
So